Welcome to the Off Plan On Air podcast, a podcast by Excelsior Real Estate in Dubai with your host, Nick Grasek.
Okay, good morning. Welcome back to Off Plan On Air. With me as usual, we've got Matt, Sav, Mitch. Good morning, fellas.
Morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Okay, usual drill. We're going to cover off three topics, reasonably brisk fashion. We're going to have a quick chat with regards to the population growth. What do we think that means for investors? Following 3 years of constant price increases, what are our thoughts about how or when should this market start to slow or turn? And then we're going to have a brief chat with the fact that Dubai was recently removed from the grey list. We'll go into that in a little bit more detail about what we think that will affect the marketplace. So, chaps, it was reported at the beginning of this year that Dubai, over 2023, our net population growth, not the number of people who moved here, but the population, how it grew, taking into account anybody that actually left, we grew by 100,000 people last year. I think we're all feeling it on the roads as well at the moment. What do you think that means for investors?
We talked about at the beginning of one of the podcasts, one of our first podcasts ever, really, is the plan to double the population. They had their target goal. You can already feel it. You can feel it here, as you said, on the roads, all the infrastructure, buildings, facilities, they seem to be bulging at the seams with at the capacity level now. But I think it's only a good thing. I think if you want to grow and be a global city and global power like Dubai is, there's a couple articles that were put out over the last week about how they're topping the list in the top 10 or top 15 for a bunch of different factors, including soft power, influential power. If you want that, you have to have an economy that's willing to push into the global scale. It can't only be internally focused and it can't only be regionally focused. And if you want to have a massive economy, especially as they aim to transition away from oil, you have to have a large base that's able to do volume with income. There's no taxes now, but it still has to generate quite a bit of significant economic growth. And for that, you need population growth. So I think it's only a good thing. And in our world as well, one last follow-up is as the population grows, people will realize prices will obviously go up in the major areas as they've been, downtown, Marina Palm. But it also pushes people into other areas, which expands the neighborhoods, different districts within Dubai, which is great for real estate.
There's more. Yeah, I mean, ultimately, these 100,000 extra new people need somewhere to live. That's not to say it's 100,000 new homes, because naturally you've got families coming in. You've got people who are looking to move into houses of multiple occupancy. But ultimately, I think this is what has been spurring the growth of the prices, is the demand has outstripped the supply because we can't build it quickly enough.
How many units are being supplied or handover this year? 60,000?
In 23, I think it's about 64,000-65,000 were actually delivered. And the coming year, in 2024, I'm living in the future, it's around about 33,000-35,000 expected. So across the 2 years, it's going to average out somewhere around about 100,000. But yet, as Mitch has said, by 2040, the government intends to try and create a population here, or reach a population growth of 6 million people. I think each emirate is trying to grow their own population, really, aren't they? I mean, everyone's trying to make themselves as attractive as possible. Dubai just happens to be so much in the press because they've always presented themselves as the biggest, the best, and, you know, obviously we live in the center of this maelstrom right now, so I guess we're more aware of it than perhaps if we were.
You hit the nail
place
on the head. That's 100,000 this year, or this past year. It's going to continue to grow. We've already seen how it strains the system in a good, manageable way. I mean, traffic isn't 4 hours from one end to the other. It's increased significantly, and it's hectic and congested. But as people start to realize that and expand, and they start to implement new infrastructure plans to spread people out a little bit further from your centralized downtown and Sheikhside Road corridor, we've already seen that with Al Kail. The toll is going to be added there. They're adding a few other new outlets and roads and networks to connect those further off places that just a year or two ago we thought, wow, that's in the middle of nowhere. But now it's starting to become a major hub. And if those roads and infrastructures and metros were to be put in place, you're only 10, 15 minutes from those places directly.
So in terms of then what it could mean to investors, it's not just about what is projected to be continued growth in terms of the values of property. It's also continued growth in terms of the diversity of what they can invest in. Because let's be honest, we're a bunch of estate agents sitting in a room, so we typically tend to focus on real estate. But it's then going to throw up opportunities in terms of commercial space. I know from the number of companies that opened, 30,000 companies registered with the government in the first 6 months of last year alone. Those companies need somewhere to operate from. So I know commercial space in the coming 3 to 5 years is going to be a real clinch, because we don't see many commercial developments being launched. But you've also then got opportunities for infrastructure. You know, it's not just the box in which we live. And we give investors a greater opportunity to diversify into other communities other than the core. I mean, you go back 3 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, the core would have been downtown, Palm, Dubai Marina. Now JVC, JVT is very much considered to be within that core. Business Bay is, some might say, busier, a much greater investment opportunity than downtown.
100%.
Because the number of developments that are happening there and the potential upside. So you fast forward to next year, or perhaps even 2 years forward, we will probably see communities that today we consider to be on the peripheral, which are then the new hotspots. And invariably, that tends to move further and further inland, or further north or further south, because you need to move into new areas.
And they will capital appreciate, right, over time.
Exactly.
Much more than the prime areas, which is right now, which it doesn't have enough room to appreciate as much as the outside areas.
Yeah. I mean, you take an area like London, you know, I mean, for Dubai as it was, potentially still to an extent how it is now, it's very much a CBD centric, a central business district centric. It's such a small environment in comparison to other major established cities, whereby you take London and you then go out. Is it the M25 map that circles London?
Yep.
You know, you go outside the M25, that's still considered London, is it?
No.
There's the Brummie in me talking.
No, so with London, what it was is, once upon a time, it was just one square mile, the city. That was London many, many moons ago. And then it's...
When you were a lad.
Sorry?
When you were a lad.
Yeah, when I was a boy. And then it sort of grew and grew and grew, and obviously then started even adopting boroughs of Kent, boroughs of Essex, and then become Greater London. And then what that happens, as soon as those Kent and Essex boroughs adopted a London postcode, or was classed as a London postcode, the prices obviously rose, because that was the major cities. Areas more central became more expensive, prices going up and up and up. So similar to what you're saying about Dubai, areas like JVT and JVC, which were once seen as, like, you know, on the very, very sort of, you know, peripheral of Dubai, areas like that are going to become more and more central. Even like, I remember a lot of people saying about Arabian Ranches back in the day, when they built Arabian Ranches, everyone was like, absolutely nobody's going to move there. It's in the middle of the desert. You try and get a property in Arabian Ranches now.
Well, that's corner. Yeah, absolutely.
Probably like 100% occupancy. You won't see any empty units sat there. It's, you know, completely, completely sold out.
I think that's a thing of supply or demand first. And as we talk about interconnection and the city being connected in general between regions, Dubai, UAE in general, did that at the very beginning. Build it and they will come. They put it, and then everything started to develop around Sheikhside Road. You can see all the old videos of where they developed
the infrastructure. And now they're coming, you gotta quickly build it.
And now they're saying, yeah, come, let's build it. I think they're gonna take a few years to really, they put plans out. They have the Italian company with that high speed that connects Abu Dhabi and a few other areas. I've seen several plans that are all very similar, but slightly different in terms of what the new metros are gonna come and do, what options could come available in the next few years for different highways, motorways, roadways, and those things. I think they're planned and they're poised, ready. We know they have the capital to deploy in that regard, but I think they're going to see just how this shakes out in the next couple of years, because they have a 2040 vision. It's not a 2025 vision, it's 2040. See a few years, there'll be a little congestion. People will start to generally navigate towards different areas. Developers and private capital will eventually take on that requirement of finding where people want to live and where can live, and then that infrastructure will come into place. I think it's going to be opposite this time. And if that's the case, as soon as these developments start to become hotspots, they'll be connected, and very soon everything will continue to be smooth again. a rising tide raises all boats. When you talk to transition to your next point,
good one.
As soon as these other markets, Dubai will continue to grow. These other smaller areas that are slowly being connected will grow with that. And I think it's going to continue the upward trend.
If you zoom out, it is kind of a blessing in disguise to see how Dubai is still a very young market compared to the rest of the world. You know, of course, you have seen the cycles go up and down since, I don't know, 2004, 2003. But it is still a very, very new market adapting to the demand and supply of the of the rest of the world.
Yeah. I mean, the opportunity to buy real estate here is only 25 years old.
Super new.
It's in its infancy. And on that, segueing nicely into the next topic, we've had post-COVID 3 years of, I wouldn't even say steady, I'd say aggressive price increases. Now, what I will say before this is that we did start from an artificially low base. The entire globe panicked and naturally prices were slashed everywhere. But following 3 years of price rises, can you guys see why, how, when this market could or should correct?
I stand by my, every podcast we go, or every one time this comes up, I will stand by my prediction is that there's not going to be a crash. There's going to be some slight corrections, healthy corrections, and it's never going to go upwards linearly. It means direct. It will go up, a little down, a little up, a little down, but it's going to be continuously growing up. If you look at the next 5-10 years, I think it's going to continue. The one that we've talked about it before earlier on why it rose and then fell, I don't think you have those same variables in place. If something new comes or there's new research or new information, we can adjust that position. But I still stand with that and that it will continue to grow because everything is sustainable now at the Dubai level. They reached that threshold where, or that critical mass threshold where it doesn't have to collapse if oil isn't constantly coming in and oil economics. There are positions and industries to fill that demand for immigration. And it will contract at some point, and then it will expand and contract, and will continue doing that, but the upward trajectory of the next 10, 20 years will be positive.
Dubai has placed itself in a very strong position so that they can combat any issues outside the variable factors of UAE affecting the migration of people coming to Dubai. You know, as compared to before, about 10 years ago, where Dubai was still learning. It has learned from its mistakes and is still in place right now. With the visas and everything, right?
You said they put themselves well. It's a safe haven.
There has to be a reason for the market to crash, right? It doesn't just crash on its own.
No, correct.
So, you know, we can all sit here and say this and say that, but unless you've got a crystal ball, you don't know what's going to happen. In 2 years' time, there could be another COVID outbreak, the whole world can shut down and the markets can crash. But unless there's any solid reason as to why the market should crash or correct, whatever you want to call it, if the people are coming in, if people are buying, if the population's growing, if business is hustling and bustling, whatever you want to say, then there's no reason why it should crash.
All right, then let me throw this in then. I mean, UAE was recently, I think it was only this week, was recently voted number one globally for the most economically stable economy, I think it was the phrase, or something like that. It's kind of being widely reported at the moment that a number of countries, a number of regions, their economies are slowing. Many of them are going into a recession. What are your thoughts about if the rest of the world or a large proportion of the world is slowing, how will that affect us? Because on the one hand, there is the argument that that could, it certainly is at the moment, encouraging migration growth to here. But ultimately, we live in such a connected world now that if everywhere else, if all the engines start to slow, will that affect us?
Yes and no. If you look at COVID, the rest of the world was shut down. Only place open, one of the only places open was Dubai. Everybody wanted to come to Dubai just to live the dream, right? That brought in a lot of spending power, brought in a lot of demand. From my experience, Dubai is affected about 6 to 8 months of a ripple effect compared to when things happen rest of the world.
So it happens here slightly later than the rest of the world.
Yeah,
that certainly happened with the global financial crash because I came here just when that happened.
Exactly. So it does affect. I'm not saying it will never affect. That's why I said that Dubai has placed itself in a bit more secure area where if it does affect, they will have contingencies in place where things can be moved a bit faster to recover from the issues happening around the world. It will slow down, but as Matt said, Mitch said, that it will keep going up at a growth, but not at a linear level. Now it will go up slowly over time.
To combine both your point and Matt's point, unless the government or any of those other representative agencies do anything to drastically change it, it's not a question of whether this locomotive engine will slow down, it's whether it can keep up with the other. If there's something that is so global it affects everybody, Dubai has, as you mentioned, Sav, insulated itself from those factors that pull on it, those levers. They've done a good job of keeping it insulated. But if it is so global, then of course that's going to affect everybody to some degree or another, whether it's more or less, doesn't really matter. It's how quickly can you rebound from that, and they've shown that they can. But everyone coming in, can this locomotive engine, Nick, keep up with it? I think that's the bigger question, is can they keep pushing to be, they've always had between Dubai and Abu Dhabi, world's number one, biggest water park, biggest thing. Can they now transition it just from established built infrastructure to now a more intrinsic or soft skill approach to where they have the number one job creation or they have the number one salary in the region and area? Because Saudi's always taken over that. They've thrown salaries at people. Can they now take over with number one education, not just in the region, but in there? Do they have top five, top 10 universities? Can they have number one in a sector, subsector of manufacturing or logistics? Can they start to increase number one in those things? And I think the government wants to, they want to try to, they're doing a good job of it now, but as 100,000 becomes 200,000, 300,000, 400,000, 500,000, as they get to that goal of doubling, they have to maintain that full speed ahead, pedal to the metal, that locomotive engine is flying. If they can do that, I don't see any reason why it won't, because Monaco has. Until recently, until Hong Kong shot itself in the foot with new taxation in the financial sector, a large portion of their demographics that pushed Hong Kong forward, they have been the hub, and they retain that for 20, 30, 50, 70 years. I don't see why Dubai can't do that if they can maintain that forward aggressive push. And they can. They have the capital to do it, they have the resources, they have the industry, and now they have an actual city and country to do that with. If they find a way to maintain that intelligently, I don't think there's a reason for the entire economy, not just real estate, where we're related, everything can push forward.
I think it will have...
It can grow too fast.
But I think going back to Nick's original question about do you think that it will have a knock-on effect? I think it will have the adverse effect. I mean, look at the last couple of sort of global situations like COVID. You know, that was what started the kickoff of all the price rising. And then we had the Russia-Ukraine. It's the same with the recessions. You know, they're being hit in the pocket in these countries like Europe. What are they going to want to do? They're going to want to come and put their money somewhere that they're not being hit as much, you know, tax-free in Dubai. I think that will push a lot of these people that have got money and they don't want to lose it. They don't want to be hit in the pocket and they'll move to Dubai, which...
Well, we've certainly been seeing that, haven't we?
Exactly.
In terms of
our client base.
Sorry?
You mean global effects have an adverse effect on the world and positive for Dubai.
Exactly, yeah. I didn't want to use the word positive because
it's that push and pull factor.
Yeah.
It's like the government here makes themselves look more attractive. That's the pull factor. And for whatever reason, other economies do not perform as well. That then becomes the push factor, whereby people want to look for a better opportunity for themselves and for their family.
Right now you have a strong push and pull.
Yes.
And it's just a matter of whether the push will never go away, because if people don't like their place, they will always look. If they can maintain that strong pull factor and back it up with everything we talked about, infrastructure, transportation, logistics, and industry, I think they can. I don't see it slowing anytime soon.
And again, taking that as my next segue link, given that we're talking about globalization, Dubai was recently removed from the Financial Action Task Force's grey list. What do we think that's going to do with the market? Like, we are now back on everybody's good book.
What makes it safer to put your money here? So again, another reason why the recession's going, sort of my last point.
But on that, so we were on the grey list, which is we were under observation. Is people's money any safer now than what it was before? Was their money actually at risk previously?
I would flip that. I wouldn't focus on whether it's safer. I would look at that pull factor. Can they attract more capital? And I think you had a lot of people, when it's shady, you're going to get a lot of shady people. What they've done is cleaned and polished it in theory. They have cleaned and polished that up to where you're not attracting those oligarchs, or you're not attracting people who have questionable origin sources for their capital. You are now attracting institutional capital. We saw that from the last 2 years, really 16, 18 months, a lot of major hedge funds, a lot of major private equity organizations, and a lot of those more larger, more established financial institutions are bringing themselves here and setting up shop here. If not regionally, then globally headquartering themselves here. Tax reasons, access to money, access to potential investments. As this is a growing city and country and region, you can put your money into a lot more. You can't build a lot in certain areas. Ireland, Dublin, for example, is so historic, you can't put your money there. We see a lot of those companies coming to Dubai. Having a gray list will taint your reputation as a major company. Now, banks have already been established here, but your larger investment opportunities, which help grow that overall economic growth, economic trajectory forwards, they were hesitant to come here. They're interested because of the tax-free reasons. They're interested because of the opportunities to invest and a few other factors that are great from a business perspective, but it taints your reputation if you're getting involved in gray list countries. And I think you saw one of the faster shifts away from the gray list as soon as there was attention on it a year or two ago. That's an incredibly fast shift and transition off of the gray list. Because they've been on it intermittently back and forth, but for them to say, hey, we're going to get off of it permanently, some people took some serious consideration and got them off very quickly. And I think that's going to attract larger, bigger players, and it's going to be not safer, but it's a better reputation to put your money into buy, which then furthers the growth and people coming continuously because it's reputable.
So it's more attractive at an institution, because let's be honest, as a retail buyer.
We never noticed a difference sitting here. I didn't notice a difference. It's great. I could access other companies. No one had any trouble accepting my money coming from a Dubai bank or Dubai account. No one had any trouble internationally.
At an individual level.
At an individual
absolutely.
Small level. Yeah. So I don't think people ever noticed that. They had a few more documents of KYC and money, AML money laundering.
That's because we keep a lot of this away from you guys. We've got a compliance and operations manager now that looks after all this paperwork.
Yes, sir.
It's been a massive headache, but well worth it because as a country, we're now much more.
We've seen a little more, but the investors that are coming to us are already used to all that. Europe, North America, with Dodd-Frank and the other acts there in the U.S., that's a nightmare. With European compliance, they're used to these kind of documents. So those people didn't really, they go, oh, this is, you said it's a lot. It's still less than what we're used to on some cases.
Yeah.
On an individual level, we never saw that, just a little more paperwork and headache on any kind of banking aspect or finance. Other than that, you still had access to everything. Well, you look at it, in the region, NBD has the largest private banking application. It's not the largest retail banking for us. You have other ones. FAB is much larger. FAB is much larger. You have Saudi, but private wealth management, NBD has always been the biggest, and that's been a great list. That's going to expand now to other globally recognized banks as well. HSBC being one of them. A lot of others are moving shop here, so it's encouraging, but not something our normal investor would ever really notice. It doesn't affect them positively and definitely doesn't do anything negatively.
Guys, anything else from you on this?
No.
All right. Thank you for your time, fellas.
Thanks.
Thank you. See you tomorrow.